Welcome to Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Podcast. This is the place to learn what Dave Ramsey and his team teach about leadership and business. On today's show, we'll discuss servant leadership and why it is the most successful form of leadership. Then we will hear teaching from Dave, who will explain why he believes servant leadership is the only kind of leadership that ultimately works. Finally, we have an incredible interview with Dan Cathy, who is president and COO of Chick-fil-A. Who am I? My name is Chris Licurdo. I have been with Dave Ramsey now for 11 years, and I have had the fantastic opportunity to teach these principles, entree leadership principles, financial principles, helping people to change the way they run their business, change the way they run their lives. I teach the three-day entree leadership here in Nashville and am a part of the week-long entree leadership that we do around the country with Dave, where Dave teaches a week-long event. It is absolutely incredible. We bring our leadership team down to be a part of that as well. What can you expect from the podcast? Well, that's simple. Our goal is to every single time give you information that is going to change your business, that's going to change the way that you lead. Hopefully, you will be able to walk away from every episode with some nuggets that you can implement immediately. But we don't want you to just sit there and listen to it. We want you to interact as well. You can do that a couple of ways. The first way that you can do that is on Twitter. If you are on Twitter, then you can follow us at Entree Leadership. That is at E-N-T-R-E Leadership. You can also email us at podcast@entreeleadership.com. That's podcast@entreeleadership.com. For me personally, you can follow me on Twitter at C. Licurto, C-L-O-C-U-R-T-O, as well as my webpage, chrislicurto.com. Now, here's the thing. We want to hear from you. We want to know if you're liking this. We want to know if you're enjoying this, but we also want to know what your questions are. What would you like answered? How can we help you out with that? All right, so what about today's lesson? Today is great. It's about servant leadership. There's many styles of leadership. Now, you can be somebody who's a micromanager. You can be somebody who rips people's heads off, or you can be somebody who just doesn't get involved at all. These all happen. But I'm going to tell you that there's only one that really works well, and that's servant leadership. So how do you get the attitude of being a servant leader? Also, how do you help your team solve problems? How do you get in there as a leader and make sure that you're setting them up for success? Because the great thing is as you do that, they make you successful. How do you show your team that you are excited about what it is that they are doing every single day? Because as a leader, you have to understand they're looking to you for your approval. They're looking to you for your acceptance. And finally, what do you do with that power of leadership? You see, leadership, proper leadership, is a bit of a paradox. You have to have it, the power that is, but you have to seldom use it. So these are just some of the great things you are going to learn in this lesson from Dave Ramsey. So sit back and get ready. Here is Dave Ramsey teaching on servant leadership.
That's what I want to be. I want to be a world-class leader. And I'm getting there. I'm a whole lot better 17 years later, 18 years later than when I started. Not perfect. Messed it up. I'll tell you plenty of times I messed up all this week. I'll share that with you. I don't mind that. I'm not lacking in confidence that I can't share with you the times that we screw up. Even last week I screw up something. We do it all the time, but I'm a whole lot better than where I started because I know what it looks like. I know what the whole piece feels like, how it needs to be when we're there. And I got the target really clearly defined on that. The Bible says the anointing drops from the beard. And this comes from the idea that in the Old Testament, oil was representative of God's Spirit. And so when a king or a leader was anointed, the prophet would pour oil over the head of the person being anointed for leadership, the anointing with oil. And the oil would flow off of their head, drip from their beard, and onto the rest of the body, symbolizing that what is good or bad with the head of the kingdom is going to happen to the rest of the kingdom. As goes the king, so goes the kingdom. Your weaknesses are going to be the weaknesses of your organization. Your strengths are going to be the natural strengths of your organization. I am a great marketer. There's a lot of stuff I'm not good at, but I am a great marketer. Consequently, our organization's a great marketer. I'm really good at quick making decisions. So consequently, our organization has had to stop doing that. And we have had to go, put the guns in. Let's get the sniper rifle out. Take the shot from a mile away. Strategic thought versus tactical thought. And we've had to get a little more sophisticated and think about what Dave's weaknesses are does not need to be the DNA of the organization. What Dave's strengths are, that's cool. We can go with those. And so we start looking for that. And then God starts placing and we start pulling in team members that fill in those gaps. I don't want a whole room full of mini-me's. That would be really chaotic to start with, but it would also be boring after a while. It doesn't take you where you want to go. You want to bring in people who will argue with you. Why? Because they're different than you, because they see things different than you. They have a backbone, they have a belief, they have a passion, but they have a whole different skill set. They've seen things you've never seen before. If you bring in people who know everything you know and just nod all the time, then you're not, you know, all you got's a drone. You got no help here. And so the anointing dropping from the beard is very important. Samuel, the story of Prophet Samuel anointing King David as a shepherd boy, anointing him king of Israel. That's one of those famous scenes where he pours the oil over the shepherd boy's head, anointing him king while Saul was still king. God had taken his hand off of Saul at that point. And so David is, as a young teenager, is projected by the prophet to become king. So the anointing drops from the beard. Whatever is right at the top is going to be right naturally. If you're very loyal, you'll build very loyal people naturally inside your organization. If you're not, you're going to have to work at that and fill that gap in, and you're going to bring people in that hold you accountable to that and go, no, we can't, you know, we can't be inconsistent on that kind of a principle. And they'll call you out on it. And then you can build a culture that's very high quality, where high quality people want to be there. And you can attract talent like you won't believe. Because most talent is mistreated by people who don't know how to run business, and most people don't run their businesses very well, big or small. They don't treat their people well at the end of the day. And so this idea that we can, you know, how do I get good people on my team, have a great team and be a great person, and then you're very attractive to great people and they want to join your team. You know, we do a whole lot better now than when we were small and we were fighting and we were a little rougher around the edges. But now that we've got this passion thing down, we've got this calling thing down, we've got this culture thing in place, we're able to pull these people in. And so the strengths of Bill Hampton are the strengths of the broadcast area. Bill's a great marketer. And he's just taken over the live events area here and the publishing area and the high school curriculum area. And they've all gotten a shot in the arm marketing-wise as a result. Matt Woodburn was the EVP that was over that, and he's moved over as a COO now and running operations for us. He's very operational. So the things of this live events area that was very operational and running, we're now seeing the benefits of that through the whole company. So shifting those gifts around and those strengths, their anointing, their particular areas of strengths start to dissipate through the whole company and or through a particular area. So look for that. Think about where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are, and how you've got to bring somebody beside you that's different and that thinks different and that's going to fill in those gaps. And that causes your organization to have that richness, that soul to it that matters. Proper leadership is a bit of a paradox. You must have power, but seldom use it. Servant leadership is the only kind of leadership that ultimately works. So this idea, now I first heard this, you know, of servant leadership, all leadership, the great leaders are servant leaders. And I first heard this and I went, now wait a minute. Because what I heard, when I heard that, I heard subservient. I heard a leader that wasn't strong. I heard a doormat who just, you know, everybody ran over them and did whatever they wanted. And, you know, I heard weak when I heard servant. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And so I didn't understand. It's not subservient, it's serving. Serving simply means I love them so much, I'm going to do for them what's right for them. Wow. And it may be right for them to work someplace else. It might be really right for them. You know, it's funny when you know when somebody gets fired, you know, we say stuff like they were released. They were let go. Like they were in a cage or something. You know, it's like a butterfly. I released it. I let it go. Sometimes you're doing them a huge favor. Hello? Because, you know, if somebody's not supposed to be on your team, you're serving them by helping them, as my HR director says, participate with the inevitable. You know, they need to be somewhere else. They're miserable. And everybody knows it, and everybody that comes in contact with them is miserable, including the customers. Why? Because no one had the strength to serve. When I started looking at servants that way, I started, then it's okay for me to be a servant leader to my kids. It doesn't mean they tell me what to do. It means I'm serving my teenage son when he leaves the driveway on two wheels on his Jeep by explaining to him that you're speeding before you leave the driveway. You're still in sight. This makes you double stupid. You know, doing it in front of me and doing it. This is double stupid. You know, we'll just take all four wheels off, see how the Jeep will run. You know, don't think it'll, you're not going to drive it if you can't drive it. You know, it's serving him. Explain to him, stupid Jeeps have low, you know, high center of gravity. They roll, people flip, die in them all the time. I'm going to take the Jeep away from you. We'll get you a little low car that has no engine, a little gerbil under the hood. If you keep acting, you know, really, I'm going to serve you, son, you know. That's serving him, isn't it? Because I don't want him to kill himself. And so you get this different feeling of what serving looks like. And I'm real smart aleck up here in my presentation of this, but you guys see what I'm saying. It comes from a right heart, in other words. It comes from, I'm going to lead in such a way that I'm going to serve you. And that doesn't mean that you're in charge. I'm still in charge, but I can still care so much about you from that strength. I think people who are intimidated that are in leadership, people who are weak leaders, are the meanest. They're the nastiest people in the world. They're the most insecure in the way that they lead. The most secure leaders are the most gentle and loving. You know, I'm not going to get fired. I own it. And, you know, I'm sorry, but you can't stay here because, you know, we've been through this, and we'll talk about hiring and firing in one of the lessons. But I'm serving someone in that scenario to not continue to stay connected with them, to set them out there where they can be what God has them to be somewhere else. That is serving. You know, I around our place, the traditional leadership model is the boss is on top, right? And we start figuring out servant leadership is really just the opposite of that. It's, you know, the entree leader's at the bottom. So when the total money makeover truck pulls up, 18-wheel truck pulls up, we got all this stuff to unload. For years and years and years, we had a tradition that all the men in leadership had to go help unload the truck, including me. And there's stories all through our organization of some guy who's been there about, you know, he's been there about 3 weeks, and he looks up and the guy handed him a box coming out of there. You know, we're doing a little handoff deal, a little fire brigade, getting the boxes out of the truck. It's me. And he's going, I went up there and it was Dave handing me a box. It freaked me out. I was afraid I was going to drop the box. I got all nervous. I'm like, dude, it's a box. But it set the tone different. You know, we don't have a pecking order thing. We got work to do. It's all our job. There's chairs to be set up. Get the chairs set up. Tell me about your corner office. And one guy said, well, I need a corner office. I got a lot of degrees. I'm like, what are you, a thermometer? I mean, it doesn't, you know, it's silly. You know, get a different mentality on this.
Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that lesson. Let me tell you, servant leadership is ultimately the only way that it works. That's the best way to lead your team. But here's the deal. It's a little tough for some leaders to hear that. Why? Because we haven't been taught that. As leaders, as we are coming up through the corporate world, most people teach you that leadership is about telling people what to do. But if you learn what servant leadership is, then it changes your whole game. It changes your whole business. You see, I'm always telling entree leaders this. Your job is to make your team successful. If you will spend your time making them successful instead of a bunch of stuff on a to-do list, if you will make them successful, then in turn, they will make you successful. So instead of just telling your team what to do, instead of just being there or not being there or ripping their heads off or micromanaging, why don't you spend some time serving them? Make them successful and watch what happens. As they grow, as they prosper, you will grow and prosper as well. All right, up next is the interview with Dan Cathy. Dan, by the way, is the president of one of the nation's largest family-owned businesses. Dan represents the next generation of leadership for the Atlanta-based quick-service chicken restaurant chain Chick-fil-A. Now, here's what you got to understand. This is what it says on his official bio. Dan says, I actually work in customer service, and with more than 1,500 Chick-fil-A restaurants led by more than 60,000 team members, operators, and corporate staff, I've got a lot of customers to serve. Now, I hope you caught that. What Dan is saying is that his customer is not me. His customer is not, Joe and Sally coming in to buy a chicken sandwich. His customer is 60,000 people that work for Chick-fil-A. That's who he is trying to take care of. That's who he is trying to serve. Helping out with the interview is one of our newest team members, John Acuff. He's the founder of the popular blog Stuff Christians Like and recently released his third book, Quitter, Closing the Gap Between Your Day Job and Your Dream Job, which, by the way, is already a Wall Street Journal bestseller. John is also part of the speakers group with me, and we are extremely excited that he is a part of the team here. So I'm going to step out of the way and let John and Dan give you some great information.
Well, Dan, it is awesome to have you here with us. I've got a couple questions I'd love to ask. First off, we're talking today about servant leadership. That's the topic. And I want to jump right in and say some of the most difficult customer service experiences I've had are from teenagers sometimes, at the mall, fast food places, movie theaters, etc. How are you able to consistently get teenagers so excited to serve? Because when you go to a Chick-fil-A, it's a completely different experience. And as a teenager myself, I don't know if I would have had that same attitude. So how do you get a teenager to, you know, run out with an umbrella for a customer as they walk into the rain, or do all the little things that make a Chick-fil-A experience so enjoyable?
Well, I think first off, we're dealing with an employment base that's very different than we've had in prior generations, in that we've got children that are being raised in single-parent homes. And we know by the statistics and all the things that sociologists tell us that that inherently presents a lot of issues for society as to how we're going to make up for the fact that we lost the opportunity to build in the emotional strength of character and values that were intended to be built from inside the family with a loving, nurturing, concerned, you know, mom and dad who are actively involved in and providing those parental role models that are so important to young people. So that's just kind of an overview thought to kind of jump in. So it presents some real challenges. So we have to kind of make up for that as an employer, as one of our operators that we select that operate our restaurants. They become surrogate role models for these young people, and about a little over 78% of our employment of over 60,000 young people and young adults that work with us are less than 18 years of age. So this is very much right in our sweet spot. We select operators that would provide the kind of role modeling we'd like for our own children. So recognizing that importance, that's really where it starts, as a really strong, competent business person, as the operator, that becomes kind of a de facto parent almost, and a coach or a mentor. And parents really appreciate that, and that's why we have such great talent coming in the door to begin with.
Well, that is great, and it's interesting to hear you talk about that you select those type of operators on purpose, and you're intentional about that. What's the process like? What are some of the things you've learned along the way about what it looks like to select great team members?
Selection of people, as Peter Drucker reminds us, is the most important question business leaders have to ask themselves. It's not, you know, the mission, purpose, and so forth, all those are important. It's not the what, as Peter Drucker says. It's all about the who. And making those important selections, Jim Collins also says, and Built to Last, so important that we get the right people on the bus and make that right seat selection once they get on the bus. We select on three C's, what we call character, competence, and chemistry. So character is all about values. Competence is about their business acumen, you know, to lead, a multi-million-dollar business with 60, 70, 80, 90 employees. And then the chemistry that it takes to inspire people to be and perform at their very best.
You mentioned Jim Collins, and I know that you're friends with Jim, and your organization has certainly done some work with him. In How the Mighty Fall, he discusses the five stages of decline, and one of the stages was hubris born of success. So Chick-fil-A has been wildly successful. What kinds of things do you do as a leader to stay humble and stay away from this type of destructive situation?
Well, number one, I'm married. And I think marriage mates inherently have a reminder of our humanity and it's kind of like the Roman Caesar that had someone whose job was to remind them that they're still mortal. And so I think that that helps us. But my humanity, speaking for myself, it betrays me all the time. And so it helps me realize that I'm just a person who's in need of a lot of help as we move forward. But I think as it relates organizationally, there's a has to be built into an organization a tremendous dissatisfaction for the status quo, where you're always looking for opportunities to make things, you know, better, make incremental improvements every day in every way, looking for little ways to ask questions, to probe, both at the, you know, the customer level, asking them questions, and imagining what more we can do for the customer so that we create more and more of a great experience for the customer. And we've built that based on a biblical model of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 41. He said, if someone asks you to go 1 mile, then go with them the second mile. And so we find that the first mile is about a transaction, but the second mile is about a relationship. And it compels you to be very, very creative as to how you can build those emotional connections with customers in the second mile.
Well, and one of the things that in a conversation that I had with you, we were it's part of the Chick-fil-A Bowl. You got a phone call from one of the students you teach in Sunday school, and he was asking about tickets. And you grabbed the phone, and you had a great conversation with him. And it really struck me about how connected you are to these students you're teaching. And so as we talk about servant leadership, what does it look like to be a servant leader both in a Sunday school class with 10 high schoolers or with a company that has over 60,000 employees?
Well, you know, the model that we have, particularly for those that are Christians, means that we follow and study his life and watch what he did. And he had a ministry to thousands, but yet he also had a personal one-on-one ministry, and both are interactive, and both are very much important. You know, we have to have his sense of compassion and alertness for the individual, as he would, you know, was for the woman who touched his garment. And even though he was in a crowd, he had the ability to stop and zero in on the individual. And I think as leaders, we have to make sure we do the same thing, that we're concerned about the broad 60,000-foot view of, you know, where the business may be headed for the future and so forth, be it as Jesus modeled for us. We have an appreciation and a respect and a sensitivity and a compassion, you know, for individuals. And I see that among great leaders. You know, for instance, Sam Walton, one of my favorite business leaders who was the founder of Walmart, he had an ability to talk to analysts on Wall Street, but he could put on his baseball hat and his apron, he'd be right there on the shop floor, literally on his knees with associates, having a little team huddle right there on the shop floor. And that's what we see in common among great leaders.
Well, and what does your name badge say again, the one you wear around at the office?
Well, it says that I work in customer service. I do that because I try to keep that in my mind, that it's all about serving others and taking care of the customers, but it lets everybody know that that's the most important job any of us have.
That is great. And one of the things I think that's often a misconception about servant leadership that we hear from other leaders or small business owners that we're communicating with is that, but if I serve too much, does that mean I'm going to be subservient? You know, can I still be powerful and confident and live out of my gifts in a bold way and be a servant? So do you think that those things are different, that you don't have to be subservient to be a servant?
Well, there's nothing wrong about being subservient. We need to have that kind of attitude of humility that we're willing to follow. In fact, I recently had thought about a slinky as a metaphor for leadership. And you notice how slinky goes down the steps. And in great organizations, you find that leaders go first, leaders develop followers, but then leaders become followers, and followers become leaders. And I see in great high-performance organizations, you know, leaders lead, but they quickly step aside as others step forward. And there's almost this dance, this interactive, you know, thing of leaders leading, but yet they quickly step aside, others jump in and lead, and they have this kind of interaction going on of leadership, servanthood, listening, talking. They've got this dialogue that goes on throughout the organization. And these kind of businesses are alive, they're viral, they're vibrant, and they really resonate with customers.
To what degree do you measure success or define success? Because often we'll see leaders that define success as it's how profitable their business has become. How do you guys define success?
I love the definition that Charles Stanley gives, in which he says that success is becoming the total person God wants me to be and accomplishing the goals that God helps me to set for my life. And so as business leaders, when we think about being the total person God wants us as leaders to be, what's the vision that God's given us so that we'll be the total person he wants us to be mentally, emotionally, physically, and even spiritually? And the agenda that we have in serving others by helping them be, better students, to have more emotional passion in their work, to live a life that physically they're taking care of themselves, and a culture of ethics that enables people to spiritually have congruence in their life. And then it's all about, the other part of that definition, is going after those big, hairy, audacious goals that God helps to set for our life, that if it's God-inspired, we'll always extend beyond our checkbook and always go beyond our own personal calendar. It compels us to share that vision with others so they too can be involved.
Well, and to that point about serving others and kind of stepping beyond, can you tell us a little about the work you guys do with WinShape and the heart of that place?
Well, the whole definition of WinShape is shaping people to be winners. And we have a number of different branches coming off that trunk of that tree in the form of our scholarship program, our 12 foster homes that we operate. We'll have over 10,000 campers in our summer camping program that we're involved with. We have over 200 of our Chick-fil-A operators that will be serving in a WinShape international experience in some 32 different countries where we teach that great leaders serve, our serve leadership model, and also our WinShape retreat center and our marriage conferences that take place there that are intended to strengthen marriages, which is one of the great, great challenges that we face in our nation today is the tragic results of what happens when we don't have those long-standing commitments. So we hope that we can have a positive influence in the lives of not only our customers, but our internal staff as well.
Well, and that's one of the things I love about Chick-fil-A is that you guys ask the core questions and focus on the core things, like how do we strengthen a family? How do we serve an individual? How do we not just have a teenager who's a really good employee, but what does it look like for us to serve that teenager and help make them a better person so that when they leave this place someday, they're leaving with a lot of new tools and a lot of new ideas that are going to serve them for the rest of their life. And that's one of the things that I love about Chick-fil-A. So last question, what advice would you give to the small business owner who's just getting started? That's a lot of our listening audience for the Entree Leadership Podcast is folks that are just starting or kind of in the middle of the trenches. What, from your position, would you say, here's what I recommend or here's a lesson I wish I had learned earlier and acted on? What advice would you give them?
Seth Godin is one of the most popular business thought leaders today, a tremendous author, and he said recently that the future that we might envision for ourselves, the future already exists today, but at a different time and a different place. And when I hear him say that, I think that anything that I might imagine probably already exists out there today, and it would greatly accelerate my learning curve if I could go out there and see it, touch it, smell it. And so my advice to business leaders is go out there and find that business or enterprise or leader that may already be 5 years out in front of you and find out who they are. And, search the internet, search, coast to coast. Maybe you have to do even travel internationally. But go out there and see those examples of excellence in terms of size and scale and, you know, the kind of products and distribution and pricing and customer experience and on and on and on. Go out there and study those businesses. We're studying businesses today at Chick-fil-A that are about the size and scale that will be in the year 2020. And it really gives a lot of clarity as to the kind of leadership programs that we're going to have to develop the leaders that we need for tomorrow, which is really the biggest challenge that businesses have, is developing high-performance leadership and leadership teams.
And the thing that's exciting to me is that when I hear you say that, I know it's true because I've worked with you on some of those projects in the past. I know, you know, you guys have studied Apple. I know that, you know, explain real quickly the walk the floors with the Home Depot experience.
Well, Home Depot was founded by Arthur Blank and Bernie Marcus, and they talk about the importance of walking that shop floor up and down the aisles. I had the opportunity of having an hour and a half tour of Home Depot by Bernie Marcus, and the big takeaway I got from a statement he made is he kicks off his management meetings talking about mistakes that he had made in the last week. And so we think about servant leadership, leaders that are willing to be transparent, to talk about their mistakes, creates a safe environment in which everybody can say, hey, well, the business leader, if he makes mistakes, maybe it's because he's trying new things. Maybe I ought to be trying more new things, new ideas. And it's okay to talk about mistakes that we make, because we can learn as much from mistakes that we make as much as we do from our successes. So I think it gives an attitude of humility, helps us avoid some of the pitfalls that you referenced earlier that Jim Collins talks about.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for joining us today. Is the best way for people to connect with you on Twitter at Dan Cathy?
That's the best way, and they're welcome to also take advantage of some of the leadership toolkit videos that we've produced. That can be found at CathyFamily.com under the toolkit section, and those are all downloadable through the resource section there as well.
Well, thank you, Dan, for sharing your time with us, and thank you for doing what you're doing. You're touching millions of people's lives every year, and I really appreciate that as someone who's regularly in Chick-fil-A with my own family.
Well, it's our pleasure, and remember to eat more chicken.
I will. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, John. Bye-bye.
That is incredible stuff from one of the biggest leaders in our country. I mean, you have to think about this. This is a guy who is COO for 60,000 people. And what does he do? He serves them. One of the things I love that he said in there, he was talking about how, you know, today's kids, you know, we are a society that is growing up without understanding values. And so as a leader, he teaches his team that you almost have to become a surrogate parent. Now, you can hear that and go, wait a second, I just want to run my business. I don't want to be somebody's parent. I don't want to take care of all these kids. Well, you have to realize that as a leader, you pretty much are stepping into that place. You're choosing to do that with your team. Your team almost becomes your family. And the sooner you realize that, the sooner you can help take care of them so that they can be successful. But the sooner you realize that your job is to guide them and help them along the way and teach them the values, the core values that you believe in your company, that's when they start changing and being more successful team members for you. I love what he said. He said, we always ask, what more can we do for the customer? I meet so many business owners that their goal is, how can we sell more product? How can we get more stuff out the door? Chick-fil-A looks at it a different way. They simply say, what more can we do for our customer? And last, the other thing I love is when he talks about what Jesus said. You know, if your brother asks you to walk a mile, go two with him. The first part of that is a transaction. But what he's saying past that is, take it past the transaction. Then start the relationship part. The great thing about Chick-fil-A is this. You don't go to Chick-fil-A to buy a sandwich. While that may be your initial intent, the reason why so many people choose Chick-fil-A is because of the experience. Because the way you're treated while you're there, because of the atmosphere, because it feels safe, because people actually love on you while you're there. That is why people choose Chick-fil-A. Well, folks, I hope you had a great time listening to this podcast. I hope you learned a lot of information. I hope you took a lot of notes. We want to make sure that you're putting this stuff into effect. We don't want you to just listen to this. You need to start doing this stuff. And again, like I said before, we want to make sure that you are involved as well. So make sure that on Twitter you're following us at Entree Leadership. That is at ENTRE Leadership, or email us at podcast@entreleadership.com. Let us know what you think. Let us know what your questions are. We will do our best to be able to answer all those questions if possible. And if we can't, then we'll probably move some of them on over to my blog. We'll answer them at chrislicurto.com. But we'll do the best that we possibly can. But we want to hear from you. Also, head over to the business section of DaveRamsey.com and sign up for your monthly newsletter. It's free. And it's not just a newsletter, by the way. It is information that will help you. It's not something that's coming out with all kinds of products and all kinds of junk that you're just going to delete. Instead, it's actually stuff that is aimed to help you. If you want more teaching from Dave right away, plan to attend one of our Entree Leadership events. You can check those out at EntreeLeadership.com for more information. Well, again, this has been a blast. I am your host, Chris Licurto, and I'm having fun dishing out some of this information, getting this stuff to you guys to hopefully change your lives. I know so are the people that are helping out with this podcast. So I've got some thank yous to go out to Chris Mefford, our producer, Colin Fatke and Bobby Robertson, our show editors, Becky Tennell, our official CEO of Awesomeness, John Acuff, Dan Cathy, and of course, Dave Ramsey. And by the way, we want to help out your friends and family as well. You know people that need this information. You know people that need to listen to this podcast. So do us a favor. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell them to download this podcast and get it around so we can help change a bunch of other lives as well. Folks, go out there and make this a great day.
Listen up, business leaders. Dave Ramsey will be in Dallas on September 30th for Entree Leadership One Day. At this event, Dave will teach you how to build a more profitable business, manage your time, and lead a unified team free of gossip. You'll hear stories from Dave Ramsey's championship playbook that will literally change the way you do business. This is 20 years of practical business wisdom from the trenches. Don't miss it. Get your seats now at DaveRamsey.com/EntreeLeadership. That's DaveRamsey.com.
Are you ready to impact your business immediately? Then join me, Dave Ramsey, for Entree Leadership Defined, coming to a city near you this fall. In just 3 hours, I'll teach you how to build a more profitable business, manage your time, and lead a unified team free of gossip. You won't find this stuff in some college business class. This is 20 years in the trenches of leading and actually running a profitable business. I guarantee this material will change the way you view your business and your leadership. This is how our company works, and I'll share with you directly from our championship playbook. It's why we win Best Place to Work every year, and how we started this thing from a card table in my living room to a major national brand. I'll be in Phoenix, Raleigh, and Grand Rapids this fall for Entree Leadership Defined. Get your seats now at DaveRamsey.com or call 888-22-PEACE. That's 888-227-3223.